Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. In honor of the upcoming holiday of Tu B'Shvat, which is this coming Shabbat, we're going to take a look at the character of Avimelech, the son of Gideon, who appears in Perek Tet of the Book of Shoftim. Okay, some quick background. Gideon, Avimelech's father, is a shofet of Israel who successfully wages war against Midian. Because of his proven leadership and the success on the his success on the battlefield, Gideon is offered by the people to be their king, and to be the start of a dynasty, right, the first one, which will extend, of course, to his descendants. Gideon refuses this offer, insisting that only God is king. Avimelech, who is the son of Gideon, and of a Pelegish of his, who lives in Shechem, apparently did not get this memo, and in Perek Tet, he makes a proposal to the people of Shechem, right, his mother's hometown, that they make him their king. In order to eliminate any competition, he kills off 69 of Gideon's other sons. Only one son, Yotam, the youngest of all of the sons, survives by hiding. And then Avimelech goes on to become the king of Shechem. The connection of all this to Tu B'Shvat, of course, is that upon hearing that Avimelech was made king in Shechem, Yotam, the surviving half-brother, goes up to Har Gerizim and speaks to the people of Shechem to explain to them that they have made a great mistake in making Avimelech their king. And he does this by way of a mashal, a parable, known as Mashal Yotam, the parable of Yotam. And the parable, of course, is all about trees, hence Tu B'Shvat. So in Perek, Perek Tet, Pasuk Chet, Halo chalchu ha'etzim limshoch aleihem melech, v'yomru la'zayit malcha aleinu. Right, the trees went to anoint for themselves a king. And they go to the Zayit, the olive tree, and they say, become king over us. V'yomru lahem ha'zayit, hechadalti et dishni, asher bi yichabdu Elohim v'anashim v'halachti lanua al ha'etzim. And the Zayit replies, should I stop making my oil, that which brings honor to God and to people, so that I should go and you know, move among the trees? Where they go to the fig tree and they say, you should rule over us. Vayomer lahem atena hechadalti et mitki vet tnuvati hatova v'halachti lanua al ha'etzim. Should I stop making my beautiful sweet fruit? That I should go and move among the trees? Vayomru ha'etzim la'gefen, gafen. Then I'll go to the grapevine. L'chi at malchi aleinu. Right, you should be the king. You should rule over us. Vatomer lahem hagefen hechadalti atiroshi hamisameach Elohim vanashim vahalachti lanua la'etzim. Right, the same type of answer. Should I stop making my wine, which gladdens both God and people, and go move among the trees? Right, all the same type of answer. Vayomru chol ha'etzim el ha'atad lech ata milach aleinu. Right, and they turn to the atad. Right, some sort of thorn tree of sorts. Vayomer ha'atad el ha'etzim, im be'emet atem moshchim oti l'melech aleichem, bo'u chasu b'tzili, v'im ayin tetze ish min ha'atad, v'tochal et arve ha'levanon. And the atad responds, if you really are going to make me king over you, come and sit in my shade. And if not, fire will come out from me, meaning from the thorn bush, v'tochal darze Lebanon, and it will devour the cedars of Lebanon, meaning it will devour everything, it will devour all of the people, presumably the people whom he is speaking to. V'ata, and here Yotam explains the mashal, v'ata im be'emet uv'tamim asitem v'tamlichu et Avimelech, v'im tova asitem im Yerubal, v'im beito, v'im kigmul yadav asitem lo, asher nilcham avi alechem v'yashlech et nafsho mineged v'yatel etchem mimidyan. And if by anointing Avimelech you have done well with the house of Yerubal being Gideon, right, who did so many good things for you, ואתם קמתם על בית אבי היום ותהרגעו את בניו 70 איש על אבן אחד ותמליכו את אבי מלך בן המתו על בעלי שכם כי אחיכם הוא. ואם באמת ובתמים עשיתם עם ירובה ועם ביתו היום הזה, שמחו באבי מלך וישמח גם הוא בכם. Right? If you really have been doing, if you really anointed in him in truthfulness and in pureness, then you will be happy with Abi Melech, and Abi Melech will be happy with you. Ve'im ayin teitzei esh mi Abi Melech, v'tochal et ba'alei shechem, ve'et beit milo, v'teitzei esh mi ba'alei shechem, v'mi beit milo, v'tochal et Abi Melech. But if not, then fire will come out from Abi Melech, and it will devour all of ba'alei shechem, and beit milo, right, neighboring place, and fire will come out from Shechem and will devour Avimelech. In other words, it will end badly for everyone. Right? The basic meaning of the Mashal is fairly clear. The kingship is offered to all sorts of worthy types, all of whom reject the offer. It is then offered to the Atad, right, a thorny tree of sorts, a clearly less exalted variety of tree, and clearly a reference to Avimelech, which as is spelled out by Yotam himself. The Atad accepts the offer of kingship, which ends up being bad for everybody. Right? That much is clear. Some questions remain, however, as is mentioned by Dr. Yisrael Rosenstein in his article on this story. Firstly, one question that could be asked: why trees? Right? If we're trying to understand well what this mashal is about, why trees? Why are the people of Shechem and the kings, the potential kings? Why are they compared to trees in this parable? And secondly, why these specific trees? What is the difference between the first three types of trees and the atad? Particularly significant is an understanding of the atad, which is the tree specifically chosen to represent Avimelech. There are mefreshim, such as Rashi, who try to identify the other trees, the olive, the fig, and the grapevine, as other past specific shoftim. But the only tree who has a clear and explicit human counterpart in the story, as told by Yotam, is Avimelech. So a better understanding of the story of the Atad will be useful in terms of understanding what Yotam is trying to say about Avimelech. I mentioned an article by Dr. Yisrael Rosenstein. So he points out that the curiousness of the choice of trees to represent the human candidates for king is apparent from the very first word of the story. Right? How does the story start? Haloch halchu ha'itzim limloch alayhem melech. Right, the trees went, but literally the trees walked to anoint for themselves a king. Now, trees are many things, but one thing that they most certainly do not do is walk. Right, whenever I read the sentence, I must admit my head fills with images of ant-like creatures right out of Tolkien's Fanghorn Forest. Right, trees are meant to be rooted; they are almost by definition. They almost by definition do not walk, right? More on this particular point in a moment. Despite this, however, right, other qualities of these trees, right, are definitely more appropriate, right? The first three trees are chosen clearly, right, because of their special qualities. One could say because of their productivity or their creativity or because of their contributions to society. And all of these good qualities, all of the good qualities to look for in a king. All of these productive, lofty trees, however, do not want to be king of the trees, right? Because, as each one puts it, right, why would I want to stop doing the wonderful things that I do in order to be king, right? It is significant, right, as Rosenstein points out in that same article, that in their answers, each of these trees again returns to this image of the peripatetic trees. Peripatetic trees, right? V'halachti lanua al ha'itzim. Right? Why should I stop doing what I do best in order to go and move among the trees? He suggests that the trees are basically saying that in order to be king, they have to give up something of their treeness, right? Their rootedness, right? And it is their rootedness, of course, which enables them to produce the best and sweetest fruit, etc. Professor Yudai Litzur, in his commentary, right, which is part of the Dat Mikra series on Sefer Shoftim, right, on this story, understands the verb lanua, right, lanua ben ha'itzim, as you know, in the context of how it's used in other places in Tanakh to describe specifically non-fruit-bearing trees, right, which tend to move around in the wind, right, and he quotes Psukim, which show this, meaning that by becoming the king of these trees, by becoming king of the trees, these trees would essentially be giving up their status as fruit-bearing trees, of special trees, and would become like ordinary non-fruit-bearing trees. Becoming king would mean limiting themselves for the sake of others. So it's interesting because while, of course, the Mashal ultimately is a critique of Avimelech, right? That's why Yotam is saying it. And we will discuss that more in a minute. There is also a hidden critique here of other more worthy characters who are not willing to take on the mantle of leadership, leaving that, right, leaving the leadership, the kingship, for the likes of Avimelech. The kingship, of course, is a very complicated issue in Sefer Shoftim, and actually in all of the Torah and on all of Tanakh, right, there are this debate, right, sometimes explicit, sometimes not, back and forth, as to what exactly we think about kingship. Right? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a lechatchila thing or a b'diavad thing? So here we seem to be given a glimpse at one of the many issues regarding melucha. Right? So I think it's also important to point out that this issue is very different than what is presented by Gideon, right, Avimelech's father, in his answer to those who sought to make him king, in Perek Chet, right, just one Perek earlier. His expressed concern was that Hashem should be the king, right, and not any human being. And Yotam's Mashal presents perhaps a different perspective, right? It's not exactly the same, you know, response to the whole king issue. In all cases, the trees are left with the Atad, right? He's the only one who's willing to become the king. And what exactly the Atad is actually a matter of debate. Two leading scholars on flora in Eretz Yisrael disagree on this issue. According to Professor Yehuda Felix, the Atad is a sort of low, bushy, thorny tree, significantly, and he makes the point of this, lacking in shade. According to Noga HaRuveni, right, the founder of Ne'ot Ketumim, for those who are familiar, we are talking about a different type of tree, a relatively tall, thorny tree, right, which looks more like what we think of when we think of a tree, like with a trunk, which actually gives off a significant amount of shade. Before going into these different opinions in terms of understanding the story, it should be pointed out that the negative quality of the Atad in the story, as described by Yotam, is not the fact that it has thorns, right? Rather that it has the potential to cause a fire that is going to burn everybody, including the Atad itself. Israel Rosenstein, in that same article that I keep quoting, actually suggests that the thorny nature of the Atad is its redeeming feature. Because thorny plants, right, such as the Atad, were often used to protect other plants, right, either from humans or from animals who might come along to ruin in one way or another the trees or the vineyard, whatever it was that was in need of protection. An example of this, right, is found in Mashal HaKerem, in the book of Yeshayahu, right? There's a famous Mashal HaKerem where Yeshayahu compares Am Yisrael to a vineyard, right? And Hashem, God, is the one taking care of the vineyard. And in this parable, when Hashem wants to take away his protection from Am Yisrael, right, it is said that he removes the thorns from around the vineyard. Right, so back to our Mashal, right, and its Nimshal, right, what is the value of an Atad-like king, right? Protection, of course, right? He is the king who fights the enemies and protects his people, right? He might not be a Gefen, a Te'ina, a Zayit. He might not be providing much by way of spirit, right, or of the spiritual, right? He's not offering that sort of thing to his people, but he does have what to offer, right? There is something about an Atad that can protect. So if the Atad is Avimelech, as clearly it is in the Mashal. So what is Yotam trying to say? Right? And all this leads us back to the question of what exactly an Atad is. Right? So in Noga HaRuveni's opinion, that the Atad is a thorny, shade-bearing tree, suggests that an Atad-like king, like Avimelech, right, might be possible in theory, right, like we just suggested, right, but it has its dangers, right, as the Mashal itself, or as Yotam himself explains in his explanation of his Mashal, right? you can sit in its tree, in its shade, right? According to Noga Haruveni, right, the type of tree that Natad is does have shade. It's possible to sit in the shade of Natad, right? Like the Atad suggests in the Mashal, come and sit in my shade, right? But there are dangers, right? You can also get burned by it, right? And that is the message, right? It seems, according to the opinion of how we understand the Atad, according to Noga Haruveni's explanation. Rosenson's understanding, and is based on Professor Felix's opinion, that the atad is a type of plant that doesn't give any shade, it's built too close to the ground, is somewhat more sinister. Right? An atad-like tree might seem like a possibility, might seem like a possibility, again, because the thorns protecting, etc. But if that atad is the likes of Avimelech specifically, right, and that is what Yatam is saying, then the whole thing is just a ruse, right? Because when the atad offers, or the atad slash Avimelech offers to provide shade, right, that offer wasn't only bound up in certain conditions, right? In other words, I will protect you if you basically take me on, if you're loyal to me, if you come and sit in my shade. But according to the understanding that we're talking about a type of tree that doesn't really give shade, right? So it's not even a legitimate offer, right? In other words, he has no shade to speak of to provide his people, and that is a somewhat more sinister understanding of Avimelech, that there's nothing about Avimelech the Atad that is a really legitimate offer of anything good to the people, only of things that are bad, meaning that the fire will come out and everything will be burned. So Yotam's Mashal speaks kind of about two things simultaneously. On the one hand, it talks about the dangers of Avimelech specifically, right? That is the immediate context of Mashal Yotam. Clearly what Yotam, that one remaining son besides Avimelech, is trying to say about his half-brother. But the Mashal also talks about the nature of kingship and leadership in general. And in that way, it provides lessons which extend well beyond the parameters of this specific story.